Right. Quiz time, everybody. What basically we've got is two teams, and that's going to be Patrick and Carolyn on team one and Liliana and Eleanor on team two. And it's going to be the biggest brain of the week award. Okay, are you ready? So you can confer, of course, and we'll go in the team order. So the first one, this is round one. This is called A Matter of Time, this round. So, Carolyn and Patrick, which can live longer, a shark or a tortoise?
Well, I feel like it's got to be a tortoise.
Are we allowed to confer on air? He's whispering.
Sorry,
at me.
I was whispering.
We tend to think it's going to be a tortoise.
But maybe he's tricking us.
Yeah, and sharks also live pretty long. But yeah. I think I'm going to go for the tortoise, because there's one that lived over a century, isn't it? One of Darwin's tortoises.
Yes,
died.
I'm with you on that.
Yeah.
So you're going to go tortoise?
Well, giant tortoise. Giant tortoise. You know, very specific. They're very long-lived giant tortoises.
Yes. Oh, I knew he was tricking us.
By carbon dating the eyeballs from dead specimens, scientists recently showed that Greenland sharks live for more than 400 years. Female Greenland sharks are estimated to be at least 150 before they begin to reproduce. Wow. Now, you're quite right about the tortoises, though, Carolyn, because in the wild, giant tortoises do have a long lifespan. It's at least 100 years or more. And in 2016, Jonathan, the giant tortoise in the Seychelles, St. Helena, was said to be the oldest living animal. He was more than 180 years old.
Yeah.
So you didn't get any marks, but you did show good knowledge. So it's a good start. But, you can do a bit of improvement in round two. Team two, this is Liliana and Eleanor. Which lasts longer, a day on Mars or a day on Venus? What do you think?
Can we answer the shark question instead?
Anyone would think we decided which questions to put to who.
Wait. Day on Mars, because it has...
Day on Mars or a day on Venus?
Which one's bigger?
I mean,
well, that's the question, Eleanor. That's what you...
Is it the distance?
Well, I've not...
I go with the day on Mars.
I like your definite...
Yes, I am...
Yeah, I trust you. You seem confident in this.
Yes. Caroline is winning.
Oh, no.
Why are they wrong?
Because a day on Venus lasts longer than its year. So Venus goes once around in about 240 odd Earth days, which is longer than it takes to go once around the sun, which is 225 days.
Oh, my goodness.
Ah, okay.
And a sol, a Martian day we call a sol, that's about the same length. It's within, I don't know, half an hour or something as the day on Earth.
Yeah. Oh, I kind of thought that Venus...
Thank you, Carolyn. I now don't have to read the answer, which is... Round two, animal magic. Team one, Patrick and Carolyn, which of these unattractive-sounding animals is real, and which one did we make up? Or are they both made up? The scrotum water frog or the bloated flatfish? What do you think?
Don't look at me.
Man,
I'm sure somewhere in the universe there are planets where both exist, you know. So you can't tell me unambiguously that none of them exist.
So we have the scrotum water frog.
And
is that what you said?
Yep,
and the bloated flatfish.
Yes.
Man, you just wanted me to say those on air, didn't you?
Yeah, I think bloated flatfish doesn't sound... Total stretch of the imagination.
Yeah, but maybe he's trying to trick us again.
We'll take that as assumed, yes, but it could be a double bluff.
Could be.
What are you thinking then? You're going to go with the frog or the fish?
Let's go with, well, what do you think?
I would go with the fish, but I'm not an expert.
Fish is real. Okay, let's...
So are frogs.
Yeah, let's say the frog is not real, the fish is real.
You're going with the frog is made up?
Yes.
Yes, knew it.
The scrotum water frog lives in Lake Titicaca in the Andes. It's evolved a reduced lung capacity and is compensated by having very highly convoluted skin folds. I don't know why I'm looking at you, Eleanor. You're the biologist in the room. And these convoluted skin folds help it to breathe, hence its name. And apparently these frogs do press-ups on the bottom of a lake, and that creates disturbances in the water. This increases the delivery of oxygen, which it then absorbs through its skin. You're doing very well, that team. You've got zero so far. Okay, back to team two. See if you can improve on the score of zero overall so far. So, Eleanor and Liliana, true or false, cats lack the ability to taste anything sweet.
That's true. That's totally true.
Yeah, I would go with Eleanor.
Because they did an experiment on lions in which they gave them the choice of water with sugar or water without sugar, and apparently they couldn't tell the difference. Or they behave similarly to both, and so it's kind of... So they assumed that they can't taste sweet. The similar question, which hasn't been tested, which I'm dying to test, but no one's let me do it yet. Can penguins taste fish? That's another question. No one knows.
But lion bars taste sweet.
What? Lion bars? I think that might be a bit different.
So you're going for actually that's true. Cats can't taste sweet stuff.
Yep. I'm going to be really embarrassed.
I'm very lucky to have Ellen on my
you're,
team.
You're off the bottom. Yes, you've got 1 point. It's true. There are two genes which are used to make a working sweetness detector, which is on the tongue. Cats lack a working version of one of them, so they can't tell sweet from non-sweet. Despite experiments like the ones you outlined there, Eleanor, where people have tried to get them to discriminate between sweet and non-sweet things, and they can't do it. There you go. Very well done. Back to team one. You've got to save your rep here. It's all on this one. So this is called Solve This round. This is a riddle slash a thought experiment, which you've got to work out what the answer to this is. A cork dropped into a glass of water always drifts off to the side. So how can you make sure that the cork will always float in the centre of the glass? And to solve this riddle, you only need glass, water and cork. What are you thinking?
Do you have any of the Jeopardy music while we think?
Yes. Do you have a cork? We could quickly experiment here.
So it always drifts to the side.
How about you stir up the water before you drop the cork in, and then you're not going to get motion out to the side of the glass?
No spoon provided, no fingers, just water.
No fingers. Yeah. You've taken our fingers.
How are we going to drop the cork in then?
With your mouth. No mouth. No, I don't know.
I can't drink the water and then it'll...
It's got to float.
Is it a normal glass, or can we change the shape of the glass in any way?
No, you get the same glass.
Right. This is quite a conundrum.
Yes.
I'm going to have to hurry you. Do you know the answer?
No.
I'm going to have to give you a wah, wah, wah,
wah. Give us the wah, wah, wah. We deserve it.
The answer is, right, that you fill the glass right to the brim, because think about it, the surface tension means you'll pull the water into a curve. The cork always floats to the highest point in the water, and the reason it goes off to the edge is because normally the water forms what's called a meniscus, where the edge of the water is higher than the curved surface, which is why the cork goes there. Because of surface tension, you can overfill the glass so it bulges above the rim and the cork will float to the top dead centre in the glass that way. So that
was the
answer.
That's pretty clever.
Yeah, I'm glad you appreciate that. That's lovely. Right, no marks for you then. Right, you could be clinching it by the looks of things. Do you want to have a go anyway? It's quite fun, this one, isn't it? So, Eleanor and Liliana, this is purely just to show off now. If you balanced a mop horizontally in your finger and you then cut the handle at the point where it was resting on your finger, so you effectively get two bits. You get a long bit of handle and then the short bit of handle with the mop head. Are you with me? So you've got the mop resting across your hand. If you weighed the two pieces, the short bit and the long bit, which would weigh more, the long bit or the short bit, or would they weigh the same?
Well, if you can balance it...
If we can balance them.
I would guess it would be the same. I feel like this is a trick question. Yeah, this is a sneaky question. You want us to say the same, but I don't think it is. What's the mop made of?
It's a normal mop.
Okay. Oh my goodness.
What do you think? Mop. Which, are you going to say they weigh the same?
No, it can't be the same because that's too easy.
Going to have to hurry you.
I don't know. Maybe we should just go same.
Yeah.
Same.
Okay. Probably we fail.
Unfortunately, you lost your edge right at the end. So what do you think? You got an answer, Patrick?
Well, the mop head is going to be heavier and it's further out, right? So you've got to have the other side's going
to
weigh more.
I'd love to give you a bonus mark. And that you
do we tie in the end?
No, unfortunately, I'm not going to let you get away with that one. Otherwise, Carolyn would have clinched it for you earlier, wouldn't she? But the short bit actually weighs more. And this is why you have to put your finger so much closer to the mop head, because there's a leverage effect. If you think about the length of the handle, it's much lighter, the long handle, but because it's acting over a long distance, there's a bigger torque. So it will actually weigh a lot less, but it has a longer leverage. It's like Archimedes said, if you give me a lever long enough and a place far enough away to stand, I could lift the earth. And that's the same principle. So actually, it's a trick. It wouldn't weigh the same. The mop head plus a short bit of handle would actually weigh more.
Okay.